All right. What's the title of today's message? Admirer or follower. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, speak to our hearts and challenge us to become all that we should be in you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Praise God. Somebody took my clock from up here today. I want to know about where I am because I really do want us to get out of here before 2 today. I got a football game to watch. I just see it. How many of y'all was already asleep? Nobody said anything. I knew I was in trouble. I got to watch the other game, too. Those of you in the back, let the doors be open because I need a little bit more breeze. It's really hot up here with the lights on. So just crack that door there, and we can get some air coming in here. And I don't want everybody going to sleep. Thank you very much, ushers. Got some great ushers here. All right. Admirer or follower? Have you ever told anybody, I admire you? Raise your hand. You ever told anybody, I admire you? Ever had anybody tell you they admire you? All right, all right. Good group of people out there. That doesn't surprise me at the least bit. How many of you remember the Summer Olympics? Do you remember there was one challenge going on in the Summer Olympics behind the Olympics? What was that extra challenge there? The swimming with Michael Phelps trying to win 8 gold medals. Now, when we got the story of Michael Phelps, Pastor Toby and I, sometime we would just stay up to watch to see if he was going to win that race, if his relay team was going to win. When Michael Phelps and his team won, we felt like we were winning. We were sitting there in the bed cheering him on, go, 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 watching, watching, watching. Michael made us feel good inside. Now, how many of you admit you was watching Michael too, and you was talking about Michael during the Olympics? We admired Michael and his accomplishments. Now, the amazing thing about it is that while some young people were watching Michael Phelps, they were saying to themselves, I can do that. I want to be like Michael Phelps. I want to go to the Olympics, and I want to see if I can win 8 gold medals. And they even thought Michael, to be like Michael Phelps is my dream. Now, those persons that did that, they have already started with diving lessons, learning the backstroke, the breaststroke, the front stroke, the side one too. They have gone into the pool. They have spent hours after hours in that pool. These people have gone beyond being admirers of Michael Phelps, and they are now followers of Michael. They are reading books about his techniques. They are toning up their bodies to get their daily routine to be what his was. And one day, one of those young people is probably going to break Michael Phelps' record. Now, as much as I admired Michael Phelps and as proud as I was of his accomplishments, I have not been moved to go near one single swimming pool. I have not read a thing about him since the Olympics were over. If he came walking through that door this morning, if he wasn't in his swimsuit, I wouldn't have the faintest idea who he was. But I still admire him for his accomplishment. I still feel good inside when I think about what he did for our team in the Olympics. But I'm not going to change my lifestyle because of Michael Phelps. Why? Because I'm not a follower. I just admire him. John Ortberg said the difference between an admirer and a follower is an admirer is impressed, but a follower is devoted. An admirer applauds. Pastor Toby and I would have, yes. But a follower surrenders his or her life. You know, a lot of people admired Dr. King. Some of them marched with him. Very few of them actually went to jail with him. And even fewer had their houses bombed. A lot of people admired Mother Teresa. Almost none of us went to live among the destitute and the needy. Hardly any of us took a vow of poverty. We just admired her. You know, when it comes to Jesus, a lot of us in the church, we admire Jesus with the songs that we sing. Lord, I'll never forget what you done for me. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. We can admire that. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. I can really admire him for that. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. I admire him for that. And then when we say, you are mighty God, who could not admire that kind of a Jesus? Jesus has never had a shortage of admirers in this world. People inside and outside the church admire Jesus. But you know something? You can read from Genesis to Revelation, and nowhere will you find Jesus says, if anyone admires me, let him come follow. Nowhere will you see Jesus says, except a person admire me, he or she cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nobody ever impressed Jesus because they admired him. As a matter of fact, there was a whole group of people that admired him so much, they tried to take him away and make him king. Jesus turned around and gave them an insult. The people said, this is too hard what you're saying. We out of here. And Jesus looked at the 12 disciples and said, hey, y'all want to go with them? Jesus is never impressed with admiration. You know, one of the complaints that young people will lodge against adults is that we as adults disrespect them. And they think that because adults have disrespected them, they feel the right to show disrespect back. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here who loves to feel disrespected? You wake up in the morning, Lord, let somebody disrespect me today. Any of y'all ever get up and pray that? No. Do you know why? Because you have been created in the image of God, and God has ordained that his image be respected. So parents and adults, that's why we ought not to humiliate and disrespect each other, especially in front of others. Youth, that's why we shouldn't disrespect each other or parents or other adults. You know, sometime when you gotta tell somebody off or you gotta discipline a kid, it really can wait. It really can wait. Tell your neighbor, it can wait. There is something wrong when we leave a person feeling disrespected. Because God's image is always worthy of respect. Now, if God's image is worthy of respect, how much more is God Almighty worthy of respect? Now, there were a group of religious people at this time who admired God and were strong admirers of God. And they would bring their offerings to God on a regular basis. The only thing was, they thought that somehow they could fool God. They could pull the wool over his eyes. Now, everybody knew what it was they were supposed to give. But there were some people who wanted to get credit without paying the price. Now, I know y'all gonna find this hard to believe at Glenville New Life Community Church. But there were once a group of people who wanted all the benefits of being a member without putting their share in the offering plate. Isn't that a shock for us here at Glenville that people would do something like that? Tell your neighbor, I'm just shocked. Tell your neighbor, don't be. Now, these people would bring a lamb to the temple for God because they knew they were supposed to bring a lamb. But in Malachi, it says they would go get a lamb that was sick and about to die, would be dead before Thursday, and bring that one and offer it to the Lord. They knew they were supposed to bring a sheep. They'd go find a sheep that was either blind or diseased that they know they couldn't get the money value for it on the market, and they brought that one to the temple. They brought in their goat. They was carrying that thing like, oh, I love this goat so much, but I'm going to sacrifice it to the Lord. And the only reason they was carrying it was because that they couldn't walk. And if they had tried to let it walk in, it would have never made it. But they felt good about what they were doing because nobody knew that they were really ripping off the temple. After all, the offering was only going to God. And surely God ought to be glad that they gave something. God says, how can y'all dish me like this? How can you disrespect me in my own house? Now, when the governor asks you for your taxes and you have to take him a lamb or a sheep or a goat, would you dare give it to him and think he was going to be happy about it? If he was speaking to us today, he'd be saying, how many of you think the IRS would be really happy with you if they knew you had been ripping them off with taxes for years and smiling at the same time? You know, how many of your landlord would just be thrilled with you if the next 6 months' rent you was $50 short, but you wanted to pay the whole amount? Young people, something y'all could understand. How many of you know that if you don't pay your cell phone bill, I don't care how many free minutes they tell you you got, you don't get any more of them. And you know what? They don't even call you up first to ask permission to cut you off. They just cut you. But here we at the church, we love you too much for that. So even though you spent your offering over there at McDonald's, we still let you come down to coffee hour. We still let you sit in the seat. We still let you get the heat. Let's be honest with ourselves. Is what we give to God a healthy animal? We all know a healthy animal is a tithe. That's 10%. Or are we bringing in one that's crippled at 5%, 4%, 3%, 1%? Or are we bringing in one that's already dead at 0%? Offering plate come. Our arm got so much exercise in it, strongest arm in the world. Time to offer plate come. We passed that thing over to the next person so quickly. It's a wonder nobody's been hit upside the head yet with the offering plate. That's why we got baskets. Now, God took a pretty hard stand with this group of admirers in Malachi chapter 1. He said, I wish somebody would lock the doors to the temple and keep them out from bringing me this stuff. They do not need to light any more candles. They don't need to get up and sing songs. They don't need to preach any messages because I am not pleased with them. I am not going to accept any offerings from your hands. And man, that's tough when God says he's not going to accept something from our hands. God is saying, look, my name is too great to be disrespected by people who just want to admire me. God actually was saying he'd rather have nothing if you were going to give it with disrespect. Now, Pastor Rick didn't say he would rather have nothing. He said, God, you keep on bringing it until we get you to where we need to get you. So don't go out here and say, Pastor Rick said in the Bible, God was not pleased. We helping you to get there so that he can be pleased. Now, everyone who made a commitment to follow Christ has vowed to offer to the Lord what the Lord requires. Now, those of you who are saved this morning, did anybody put a gun to your head and say, accept Jesus now or see the devil in 2 minutes? No. Most of us voluntarily said, I invite Christ to come into my life. Nobody forced you to do it. Now, you cannot become a Christian without putting Jesus in charge of everything that you own. Say everything. Everything that you own. Now, if you haven't done that, you haven't yet really become a Christian. There was a guy in the New Testament who tried to see if he could sort of get there by himself. Now, he was a self-made millionaire who I believe was actually quite generous. I think we've misunderstood this guy through the years. But anyways, he was a rich young man, and one day he came up to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, he says, well, keep the commandments. And Jesus went through the commandments that he was supposed to keep. And the young man says, well, I've kept all of those. Now, some of us think the guy was stingy, but when I looked to see, two of the commandments that Jesus told him to keep was to honor your father and your mother and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that meant he had to have been giving up some money if he was loving his neighbor as himself, because if he saw his neighbor in need, he would have been helping him out. And this means this guy was probably generous with his money and doing a good job of it. And he probably was more generous than most of us are today. The guy's problem, though, is that he is an admirer of God. I want you to see that Jesus never challenged him. If some of us said, Lord, all these I have kept since my youth, Jesus would say, shut your mouth. You know you ain't telling the truth. Amen. Jesus never said to this guy, though, you need to stop being stingy. He never said to this guy, you need to stop being selfish. Which means to me, the guy must not have been stingy. He must not have been selfish. What Jesus was trying to do was to move this guy from being an admirer to being a follower. Look in your outline. Let's read together Matthew 19, 21 and 22. Let's read it out loud. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, let's just look at this story here for a moment, because I think that we've missed several things in this story. First of all, Jesus did not ask the guy to give away his possessions because the guy was greedy. Jesus didn't initiate this conversation. The guy did. The guy came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to become more righteous. What do I have to do? Now, him giving up his money was a sign of a willingness to trust God. You see, you can't become more righteous without trusting God more. Now, up to this point in his life, he could make whatever he wanted to have happen, happen, because he had the money to do it. Why is it that we want money? Most of us tell a lie in a minute and say, because I really want to just be a blessing to the kingdom of God. You ever hear the people, if I won $100 million in the lottery, I give 10% to God. What? If you won $100 million, how come you couldn't give $99 million to God? I ain't giving away my money. How much did it cost you? A dollar if you found, or if you bought a ticket, or nothing if you found it. Now, if you can't give away what you don't have, how in the world are you going to give away what you do have? Everybody ought to pray, Lord, if I ever win a whole lot of money, I'm going to give 95% to you. I ain't praying that prayer. Why not? I might win. Money gives us a feeling of being in charge of our destiny. But how many of you know that's a lie? How many of you know money cannot make people love you? It'll make them hang around you, but it won't make them love you. How many of you know money cannot guarantee you good health? You can get a good insurance plan, but if I got to choose between the plan and the health, I'd rather have the health. How many of you know money will not make your kids behave? You can pay them to do what they're supposed to do while you watching them, but when they're somewhere else, ain't no telling what they're going to do. How many of you know money cannot keep you from dying? In the first service, Jerry said it might help postpone it a little bit, but eventually you are going to die. Another thing I want you to notice, he did not ask the guy to give away the money for nothing. He said, give it in exchange for treasure in heaven. I suppose this rich guy had been here with us today, and he had invested his money in the stock market 3 weeks ago. How much money would he have lost? Tons of it! Jesus was trying to give him a sure investment strategy that he would not lose out on regardless of the stock market. You see, when you invest in the kingdom of God, it pays dividends for all eternity. And not only that, it's waiting there for you when you die to come over here and pick it up. And the God we serve is so gracious that he's putting so much interest on the thing that every now and then he just opens up the floodgates of heaven and drops some of the stuff back on you. And you're like, whoa, praise God. Where did this blessing come from? Now, whatever you spend or invest in this world is going to be left back here, and it's just waiting for you to die so somebody else can spend it up for you. How many of you know there are people who got great retirement plans that they're never going to get to use? How many of you know there are people that had great retirement plans and they've already lost them? We need to recognize that God is ultimately in control. Because all of us are going to leave everything behind. Say everything. Everything behind. Admirers realize this, or don't realize this, but followers do. I also want you to notice he did not ask the guy to give away the treasure and become lonely and destitute. He said, give it away to the poor and come follow me. Now, the reason the young man turned away was he had an unhealthy, say unhealthy, unhealthy attachment to money. How many of you know most of us have an unhealthy attachment to money and to things? I posed the question in the first service. I said, suppose you had, well, I'll make it a little bit more illustrious for y'all. Suppose you finally got that brand new Lexus that you wanted with the seats that can warm you and cool you behind just by pushing the button. Ooh, I'm hot. Ooh, I'm cold. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Got the surround system in it that you wanted, and you got a permit to carry a gun. And one day you come out, and you see somebody breaking into that brand new Lexus. and you pull out your gun and you say, get away from that car. And they say, I'm going in this car anyways. And they crack open that door and go to jump in. How many of y'all just fired? Bam, bam, bam. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, here you are, finna send somebody to hell for all eternity over what? A Lexus. Now, did Jesus die for that Lexus? Did Jesus die for that car? Did he die for the robber? Yes, he did. So what you gonna tell Jesus when you get there? Lord, I made sure you didn't steal nobody else's car. Possessions very quickly can mean more to us than life. And don't you know, if you were smart enough to finally get a Lexus like that, you were smart enough to get some insurance? Praise God. I want you to notice, too, he didn't tell him to just throw the money out there and run from it. He said, take the time to give the money responsibly to the poor, and then come know, get to know me. You see, if the rich young ruler had simply given his money to his family, they would have had the same problem that the rich young ruler had. Money just does that to us. Jesus is saying the benefits of having a close relationship with me outweighs what money can actually do in your life. What benefits are there in knowing Jesus? First of all, if you know Jesus, you are free to be you without having to do what everybody else around you is doing. You do not have to give in to peer pressure. You do not have to get into the rat race. You can be who you are. Forget about trying to please everybody else. Forget about faking it till you make it. Because in Christ, you are enough to be pleasing in God's sight. Another benefit of knowing Jesus, you have a Savior who already loves you so much, though no matter what it is you have done, you don't have to be shaken when you get to heaven. Is he going to bring that up? You're already forgiven. You have a God who has a plan for your future. You're going to be the kind of person that other people want to be around because you're going to bring the life of Christ into whatever situation you are in. You also know that your future is secure because God is in control. Now, if you listen to the economists talking on the news, they keep sneaking in a phrase that says, this thing ain't over yet. Things are going to get worse. Now, some of us are already down on the bottom and we thinking they real bad. Now, when they say it's getting worse for them, heaven help you. We might be all cooking soup down there in the fellowship hall and enjoying it and praising God for doing it. I want us to realize that God's ability to care for us has nothing to do with the price of oil, nothing to do with the price of gas, nothing to do with whether the stocks go up or the stocks go down. God is still God. You also know that no matter what circumstances come into your life, whether good or bad, God has already promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you're already in good hands. You also know that God can do a miracle anytime God wants, gets ready to do a miracle. And if you're following Jesus Christ, there's going to be a whole lot of grief you don't even have to worry about. Amen? God knows how to do all kinds of things for you. And ultimately, you know that you are going to die And when you do, death is not going to cheat you out of anything. These are just some of the benefits of following Christ. But they're only available to followers and not just admirers. Jesus must have looked when the young man turned and walked away. Imagine how sad Jesus' eyes must have looked. Now, suppose as you were watching Jesus' face, and Jesus come back, and he looks right at you and says, what about you? Are you willing to let go of everything and come follow me? Are you willing to say, I'd rather have Jesus and what he has to offer me than anything this world can afford to give to me? Are you willing to say, I will pay the price to follow him? I don't care. Whatever Jesus wants me to do, I'll do it. Wherever he wants me to go, I'll go. Whatever he wants me to give, I'll give. I'll be whatever he says I'm supposed to be today. Why? Because I'm not just an admirer. I'm leaving the crowd to become a follower. You know, when we understand our tie as a love relationship with God, we encourage ourselves to become even more of what God desires for us to be. You know, when you truly fall in love, I ain't talking about that little crushy stuff. I'm talking about when you truly fall in love, you want to offer the person the very best you have. If you, even when it comes to your hair, you don't just comb it a little bit. You want that thing perfect. And it ain't just the girls that want it perfect. We trying to get it perfect too. Why? Because we want to offer the very best. Now, yesterday was sweetest day. And ladies, I tried to help y'all out. I had called all the men to remind them that it was sweetest day. Now, suppose you said, baby, here's a dozen of roses for you. She just smiling and you give them to her. She look at the roses and she said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Honey, I thought you said it was a dozen roses. Well, it was, but I gave one to so-and-so, one to so-and-so, and I had to keep two just in case I might need them later. How many of you know that date just went south? And yet we try to do that with God all the time. Now, young people, if you want to offer God the best tithe that you can, the best way for you to do it is to get good grades in school. You see, the best time for a young person to pay for college is where they're in grades 9 through 12. Because every A and every B you get is worth money. It's called scholarship. Now see, you are increasing your ability to give generously to the Lord. Because after you finish college, the money you would have been pouring into student loans, you can now invest in the orphanage ministry, or the outreach ministry, or the youth ministry, or the above and beyond. If you offer God your best tithe now, God will open doors for you tomorrow. Now, you still need to give. I hear young people tell me, you know, Pastor Rick, I would give if I just had something to give. And here they come from McDonald's, biggest supersized fry, supersized drink, double, triple cheeseburger. Are they hungry? I guess so. But if they really wanted to tithe, all they had to do was say, don't supersize it this time. Just give me a regular fry. Don't supersize that drink. I'm going to take water this time. I'll get a cup when I get back over to the church. We all got something to give. All we have to do is to be a little creative. For the life of me, I do not understand how almost, I'd say 70% of our young people have a cell phone. And two young people gave to the handicap access ramp. I just don't understand that. And parents, you know, you want me to send you that statement? How your child gives in the offering plate is a very good indication of how well you can trust them when they ain't in your sight. I guarantee it. Because if they're not doing what God asked them to do, and he's watching them all the time, you kidding yourself if you think they're doing what you want them to do all the time. Let me keep going before I get in trouble. Young people, how do you choose a college to go to? You choose a college that's going to keep you and your family out of debt, so that both of you will be able to support a new ministry or vision, because you don't know when what God is going to want to do in the future. If you figure out your money where you say, I done figured everything out and I just can't make it, you can't afford that. How many of you know stuff is going to break down? How many of you know things are going to happen that you didn't put in that budget? How many of you know just when you think you're about to have something extra, that's when the transmission goes? So if you done figured out everything right to the penny, it's not going to work. Now, we told our girls, we said, now look, we're going to help y'all go to school, but we need y'all to help us along the way. We had two very bright young ladies there at the house, and two of them, they had the light bulb come on a little late. We knew they were smart. We knew it. And they proved it, because when they got to be seniors, straight A's, straight A's. And I'm like, where was this person in ninth grade? Where was she in 10th grade? Okay, so now it's time to come to college. Where do you want to go to school? Well, I want to go to such and such. Here is what we will do. We had saved this much of money for you. This is what we have to work with. Now, let's sit down. Since you kind of slacked off a little bit on your part, you kind of narrowed down some of your options. Why should we go into great bondage when you would not listen to us? You see, we want to help our girls. We want them to become all that they can be. But we also want to be obedient to God, because sometimes God may want us to use our resources in a different manner. All right? Now, we as your pastors, I don't care what the project is, we are going to be two of the largest givers to whatever it is in the church. Why? Because we planned in advance. When was the last time y'all saw us driving around in a Lexus? Is there anything wrong with driving in a Lexus? Absolutely not. And if one of y'all give me a Lexus after church, I'm going to drive around in the thing. But what we weren't going to do was to have a payment coming in for the next 7 years, which meant if we said, let's go do this for the Lord. Well, you know, I kind of like to do that, but I got these bills to pay. And we be saying it like the bills came out of heaven. And just, fellow, I can't do that. I got all these bills. Where did the bills come from? We made them. Now, you don't just choose a college like that. You choose a car, a home, clothes, cable service, phone service, and everything else. A follower of Christ says, am I going to be free to still make a difference for the kingdom of God? If I can't, then I need to ask the question, is there another way for me to satisfy this need in my life? Well, maybe I don't need to get both of the seats that warm my behind. Maybe I'll just get one of them and get one of them hot pads. Nobody will know the difference. Or we need to say, should I wait a little bit longer so that I can put more money down so that the payments won't be as high and I'm still free to do it? Or we can say, now wait a minute, should I just do without this thing altogether? You see, we need to ask those questions for all the purchases that we do, because the way we choose to give to God's work is a sign of whether we are an admirer of Jesus or whether we truly follow him. Now, does it matter when you buy whether you buy a $50 dress or a $100 dress? It all depends on what you do with the $50 in between. Will you take that extra $50 and give it to us and say, here, send this to those kids in Haiti and let five other girls get dresses? Or were you going to take that extra 50 and say, praise God, God has blessed me with this extra $50. Now I can upgrade my phone so that I can make text messaging easier. And not only that, I can text message in slow motion while watching myself text message in slow motion. You know, how many of you got gadgets that are just ridiculous? And we keep getting them. You see, now, when y'all want to give me a gift, just give me the money. And you know why I say that? Because I realize that every gift isn't for me. Sometimes when somebody gives me some money, I turn right around and give it to somebody else. Because I realize that's what I was supposed to be in that situation, was just a conduit. Okay? And sometimes God wants you to be a conduit. He blesses you so that you can bless somebody else. God does things like that with his followers. Followers have made up their minds. They're going to pay the cost no matter what it is. Now, all of us know that we know God, owe God a dime out of a dollar. Just a dime out of a dollar. If we can get to that point where we can say, God, I don't care how many dollars you bless me with, I'm still going to keep giving at least that dime. Now, you know you've been liberated in your giving when you can not only say, oh, God, take two of those dimes. I got enough. Take three of those dimes. I got enough. You know, if you be worried about, well, how are my dimes going to be spent? Come to one of our session meetings. We'll show you exactly how your dimes are being spent. Jesus said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of God, but only those who do my will. Many of us will say on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And Jesus said, I'm going to say, I never knew you. You know, in the end, 100 years from now, I think, let's give us 125 years. 125 years from now, every last one of us is going to be dead. And there'll be two groups, those who were followers of Christ and those who were not. There will not be a middle group in the aisle talking about we were devoted admirers. There's those who follow Christ and those who reject him. And when it comes to your giving, you're either supporting the ministry of Christ or you're supporting your own agenda. Now, the worsening of our economy is going to force some of us to let go of some of the things we used to have. Wouldn't it be better to be proactive and give up something simply because you love the Lord and want to be obedient in your giving? Jesus is looking for followers. We all said that, or most of us admitted, we had that unhealthy attachment to possessions and things and taking care of ourselves. Now, you got two tickets.